Greetings again and good morning. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 26 and take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Proverbs 26, for those who are visiting with us, we are doing our series through the book of Proverbs, and the way the book of Proverbs is given to us, the first nine chapters are very easy to do expositionally, passage by passage. From chapter 10 to the end of the book, it is basically a whole bunch of individual proverbs. And so we are now taking it through the thematic portion of it and breaking down subject. And we've covered quite a range of subjects that are within the book of Proverbs that teaches and shows the contrast between living a life of wisdom versus a life of folly, living a life as a wise person versus a fool, one who had given to the fear of the Lord versus to do as they please and what they want. And it shows you, if you take this theme, how a wise person acts versus how a fool acts. And we've been taking all the subjects that are here contained, and what you see in your outline, obviously when you look at that list of verses, it's kind of overwhelming, but I have them all typed inside so you can follow along if you want to go this way. This morning is going to be a little different because there happened to be one big section that really summarizes everything that I got you in that should be in Proverbs 26. It's going to be our exposition this morning through chapter 26, verses 17 to 28. And that's what you're going to see in your outline. Pretty much this passage summarizes the collective, information in those verses. But we're going to be talking about the subject of the attitudes of hatred, malice, and strife. I know it's not a user-friendly thing, but the Bible teaches the destructive nature of these kind of attitudes. And Proverbs really brings that out. And we want to be aware of that. So you should be in Proverbs chapter 26. Let's look at verse 17. Follow along as I read to verse 28. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes the dog by the ear. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like an earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it rolled back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. Help us that we work our way through this portion. And Lord, help us to understand the devastating nature of these attitudes, these actions, and the use and poor use and evil and wicked use of our tongue, our speech, and how we use hypocrisy to cover our hatred, to deceive. Oh Lord, we pray that we see the horror, the harmfulness, and the destructive nature of these things. Help us to realize that people who practice these things are truly, in the highest sense of the word, a fool. They do not and have not chosen to take the path of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and yet it had revealed and reflected in their relationship because they basically don't have any. All of the relationship they have are superficial, and anybody who gets close to them gets hurt because of these character traits in their lives. So Lord, help us to be warned and forewarned. Help us to be informed so we can examine our hearts and to be what you would have us to be. And Lord, if we are guilty of any of these, whether it's part of the time or all the time, may we repent and confess and come clean before you and to make things right with others. Help us to realize that these things are destructive and they are not pleasing to God, to you. And so, Lord, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you study Proverbs 25 or 28 to the end of chapter 26, it will record for us in that section seven perverted types of people. And when we mean by perverted, let's take the biblical definition of perversion. That is twisting what God had purpose and design. To take what God had said to you, your speech or your relationship or your situation, to do it in a manner that bring unity and harmony and love and support and encouragement and even reconciliation if you have an estrangement in a relationship. But a perverted person twists everything and says, that's my truth. That's my way of handling things. And we need to understand that God said that way of handling things is wrong. It's wicked. It is sinful. People who live in a perverted type of way live in a way that is contrary to their purpose and existence in this world that God had given them. People whose behavior is harmful, hurtful, and destructive to relationship, to families, and to society. The biblical term for society is our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Anybody in need, right? But I'm using the word society because we understand that. When you have people that are like this, it puts a strain on relationships in society. And the more you have of this kind of mindset and perversion, the more it destroys the unity and harmony in society as a whole. We're seeing that happening before our very eyes, what's happening. But the people of God had been called to take the path of wisdom, to fear the Lord and to live in a way that honored Him. In this group that we see, the first one is the undisciplined. These are people who they have no self-control and they aimlessly live. Then you have the fool in verses 1 through 12 and 26. It showed what is fitting and unfitting for a fool. Then you got what we have already dealt with in depth, the sluggard. These are lazy people who are a burden on others because they refuse to work and they refuse to pull their end of the deal. In our passage this morning, in verses 17 to 28, we see four kinds of troublemakers. And they are the busybody, the mischief maker, the slanderer, and the hateful person. So these are people who cause agitation and break down relationship among people. So let's take a look at point number one, verses 17 through 19, the mischief maker. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Like a madman who throws firebrand arrows in death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and said, I was only joking. What you see in this passage, and not only in these three that I read, but in the entirety that I read to start this, you see the following words such as strife, fire, firebrand, quarrel, contention, talebearer, which is also called the whisperer or the gossiper. Hates, hatred. These all address troublemakers who create strife and mischief, conflict, discord, fighting, and bickering among people and relationships. These are people who, for some reason, cannot create problems wherever they go. And when there's conflict, they don't resolve it. They agitate it and make it worse. And it sends from attitudes in their heart. It sends from unwillingness to do it God's way because of pride and ego and many other reasons. Let's look at the first word I want you to call your attention to is the word meddled. In verse 17, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own. The word meddled means that you listen to a conversation and you listen to the conversation and you have gotten angry in what you're hearing. It's not a conversation you just eavesdrop and just go. We are in a, you're intimate, you come into a conversation that is a quarrel, a debate, an argument, a kind of a verbal fight. And you're hearing it, and what you heard, whether it's one side or the other, makes you mad what you heard. That is the idea of the word meddled in the Hebrew here. The idea is that you get yourself worked up over some argument that doesn't involve you. That's the key. It doesn't involve you. But you meddle in it anyway. You get engaged into it. It is getting agitated by something that does not involve or concern them. The first problem was, is they listened to the conversation that wasn't, they were not invited to. They were listening and eavesdropping on a conversation that they were not invited to. Here lies why some people always seem to get in trouble because they can't not listen. Now, the better time to listen to is when you have good things like the preaching of His Word, amen? That's when you ought to be listening. But a lot of times when we talk about eavesdropping on conversation, especially when there's kind of a heated debate between two people that doesn't involve us, we need to let them resolve it and stay out of it. We don't need to even listen to it. Listening to it like reading somebody else's mail that did not have your name on it. We need to understand what we're dealing with here. The first problem is they listened to the conversation that did not involve them, and then they reacted by interjecting themselves into the debate that they were not invited. We all know people like this. Whether they do it all the time, but even doing it once is wrong. It's acting like a fool. You interject yourself in the conversation. It's kind of like giving an opinion when nobody really asks for it. But yet, you just feel the urge that you have to say something in the midst of this conflict. 1 Peter 4, verse 15 says this, but let none of you, listen to these words, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer. Listen to the next one. As a busybody in other people's matters. See how serious God takes meddling with other people's business that doesn't involve you? He put them in the category of the thief, the murderer, and the evildoer. Don't be a busybody. The moral of the story seems to be mind your own business and let them handle it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30 says that do not strive with a man without cause if he had done you no harm. It is wrong and useless to stick your nose in where you are not invited or welcome into the conversation. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says that it is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start a quarrel. When a person interjects in there, instead of two people trying to iron out their situation, you got a third person that really don't know either one, but giving their opinion and escalating the problem and making things worse. Wisdom in Proverbs 20, verse 3 that I just read to you said to walk away from an argument when it's not yours to deal with. If you come upon a situation, bet to walk away from it. But what usually happens is that we have a tendency to gravitate to a heated argument as Mod does to electric bug zapper. You have Anytime you go camping, or your place where you got the pet, the flies and bugs and stuff, you put that liquor zapper and you hear it going all night long. That's because moths can't resist going to that light. That's what we are sometimes to juice the debates. That doesn't involve us. So we need to stay refrained from that. Let's look at verse 18 and 19 as we see the next person. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Here we have the mischief maker. Here it all begins with verse 19. This is the person, and verse 18, this is what they're like. Okay? Verse 19 is basically saying where they are saying something intentionally to hurt and disguise it with deceit and then lied about it when exposed. Here is a man who deceived his neighbor, given the end of that verse that talked about, and I was only joking, maybe they were saying something sarcastically, satire, mean-spirited, whatever, and hoping that it would sting and hurt it, and then they got called on it. Hey, man. Can't you take a joke? I was just joking here. God is saying people who did that intentionally are being deceitful and lying. And not only did they do it in a deceitful way, they covered it up by saying I was only joking instead of being honest. You're right, I'm sorry, I should not have had that. I should have not even had those words, let alone the attitude that was in the heart. But that's not what happened. When a person does it, and we have people have done it, and maybe we have done it, where there's somebody who just kind of not on our good side, and we just can't leave it alone. We like to goad them a little bit, kind of like to needle them a little bit in a hurtful way. Shame on us for even having such entertainment of emotion. And yet it happened. And when we have them and give in to them and manifest them this way, we are like verse 18, a madman who throws firebrand, arrows, and death. What is it? It is like a person pretending to be a lunatic for amusement hurled weapons of pain and hurt. I like what John Kitchen said on this. Quote, I'm sorry, H.I. Ironside. He said, quote, he's like a man pretending to be insane and finding his sport in injuring others. Deceit in the name of pleasure is as much to be denounced as any other sin. Self-control and concern for the welfare of his neighbor will cause one to avoid the deceitful behavior. Only the most thoughtless and selfish person will engage in amusement at the expense of another's suffering. And here we have often seen and witnessed people suffering and people saying things or doing things and at the expense of somebody else's. Never is a joke, my beloved, is a joke acceptable when deceit and lying is used with the intent to hurt the person. It is wrong. You can't get away with it because God knows the heart. And very important that we understand that a joke is never acceptable when you have to use deceit, but your intent is to hurt. Find an entertaining talk in moderation is acceptable, but it crosses the line when it hurts people, especially when you use deception and lying in the initial jab and then cover it up with a lie. I was only joking. It's a serious sin and a character flaw. And we live in a world that thinks it's okay to do that. And do what you want, do as you plead. You see it in sometimes in sitcoms, you see it in books and tabloids. You see it in people talking. We need to shun that kind of thinking because it's devastating on the people who the receiving end of those jokes or those comments. How many times have people committed suicide because they were always the brunt of jokes? Humor, beloved, is a gift from God, but never. ever when it is enjoyed at the expense of another person. Point number two. Take this now to the slanderer, known as the talebearer or the whisperer. Look at verse 20 through 22 with me, please. Verse 20 through 22. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife cease. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. What we have here is the first word I want to call your attention to is the talebearer. Also translated the word whisperer. It is a word that speaks of somebody spreading rumors or gossip, backbiting, or the most common, one of the common words is the word the slander. To say something that is not true about somebody. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, 16:28, a pervert man sows strife and a whisperer, same word as we have here in the word talebearer, exact same Hebrew word. A whisperer separates the best of friends. How can that happen when you got, so to speak, your BFF, my best friend forever, and yet a whisperer, tailbiter, a bearer, or a gossiper will, by their use of their tongue, will say things, reveal things, betray trust, whatever the case may be, they were not a true friend, and they separate them. Also, we see another one called the contentious one. And this word is a person who is known as a contrarian. They like to initiate and cause strife, trouble, and arguments. They're always agitating the pot, always poking, can't leave things rest and leave things alone. Here is your classic gossiper who causes strife and division in relationship. The whisperer is tantalizing and fun for the moment, but when the fun is over, there is a string of broken relationship because of this person. Okay, they don't use their tongue in the right way. Last week we talked about the good use of the tongue and the bad use of the tongue in the Proverbs. Clearly you see it here again, but I wanted to bring out and isolate that there are these people who have not only what they do, but their intent. This really reveals their intent to hurt, to crush people. Later on, we're going to see a lying tongue hate those who are crushed by it. They intend to ruin people. They think nothing of what it does to that person. They could care less. That's how thoughtless and heartless they are. That's how far this person who, when they refuses wisdom call, refuses to walk in the path of the fear of the Lord, they will go down this far where no surprise they have no friends. Because they devastate everybody they come in contact with. But here we also have the answer. And I have told you, this is one of my favorite Proverbs, 1:20, 26:20. I've used it with whenever our boys would argue and fight, I'd always comment and say, who's going to take the wood off the fire? Because you know the old principle, when wood is taken off the fire will die down. You have more fuel. Here's what it said. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. It's important that we understand that you got to get rid of the talebearer, or the whisperer, or the gossiper, and tell them, stop and desist what you're doing. And yet, the only way to stop the fire of strife and conflict is to get rid of the gossiper. Notice verse 21 now. At charcoal is the burning coals. And wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. Here now, if you don't, here's what's going to happen. They're going to continue to kindle strife and blow and create the flame even more so. If you do not deal with the gossiper or the contentious person and address them, they will continue to burn. And the gossiper will sow bitterness into the lives of those they come in contact with. Because they just can't leave things alone. It's amazing how somebody can use their tongue and tell a lie and somebody embrace it as the truth, how it devastates that life. Then we look at verse 22. This is a very important verse that we need to get a hold of. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. What we have here is the talebearer again being reintroduced. The problem with these individual words and what they say behind people's back, and people are willing to listen to it and not confront the person for the sin of gossip. Here they keep talking, they keep speaking, they keep giving, so to speak, airtime, a megaphone, whatever you want to call it, to be heard, given a platform to be heard, to sow strife and discord and disunity and disharmony among people, whether it's small or great. The content of a gossip is like, it says here, tasty trifles, which mean to devour, swallow, or gobble up. In other words, a gossiper knows how to frame the content of their method or their explosion or bomb or destruction in such a way that you can't resist not taking it. That's why it's called a tasty trifle, okay? Some translation uses the word phrase dainty morsels. John Kitchen again said this, quote, listening to gossip is as easy as downing a delightful dessert. Putting a stop to gossip is as difficult as refusing that tantalizing confession when everyone else is indulging in it. When everybody else is listening to the gossip, it's hard to resist that tantalizing news. Did you hear? Did you know? Did you hear the latest? It's almost like we can't. But we have to recognize the person had the reputation for this. That's why they're called the talebearer, the gossiper, the whisperer, people who like to whisper into people's ears to create problems and discord. It's interesting when you do the word study on tasty trifles. You got two words, tasty and trifle. The Hebrew talked about both. It's not only good, but it's kind of rare. The idea here is it's rare, special, and something you believe not everyone had firsthand knowledge of enjoying. How in the world can you not listen to it or pass it up? So we need to realize, beloved, when we are in that situation and we do this, we not only fail to refuse or resist listening to the gossip, there is another very important danger here that this verse brings out that we often miss. Let's look at it again. Verse 22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Literally, into the deep rooms or recesses of the belly. Now, what in the world does that mean? Okay? The idea, this phrase is found four times in the book of Proverbs. And the idea is it means that gossip does not merely fall on your ear. It settles deep within you. You almost cannot forget what you heard. So be careful that you not only listen to the gossip, because that news and content will go deep and you're going to have a hard time rooting it out. Here's the devastation to it. You cannot help but be influenced by it, and you will never look at the person of whom the gossip is all about the same way again. And here lies the problem. Here lies the problem. whoever that information was about. If you're a gossiper, you are spreading information and putting people in people's mind that go deep where they can't look at their brother and sister in Christ in such a way like they should. Even if they are guilty of something, it is not meant to be broadcast. And if they've asked for forgiveness, it's over. Restoration, reconciliation is the process now. But nah, no, gossipers, their whole thrill is to get a rise out of people and get people all stirred up and worked up. Gossip irrepressibly shaped our views of people no matter how hard you try to discount it as possibly not true. Because you will eventually, you look at that person, I don't think it's true, but what if it is? And the only reason why you think that is because somebody put it in your head. And it went deep. Here lies the sin and the harm and the destructive nature of gossip, the mischief maker, those that want to sow discord around us and around your life and around your family. It tends to jade and jaundice a person's view of another person. Beloved, we're already sinners. That's a given, right? We all messed up. Nobody's perfect. We all say it. But it's another thing when you have somebody who can't seem to be done and become a busybody spreading information that hurts and keeps people from being what God had called them to be, to grow. The remedy for this is to not to listen to it and to call the gossiper to repentance. What you're saying is wrong. Even if it's true, did you go talk to them? If you did, why are we hearing about it? Unless we're into Matthew 18, stage 2, where you have witnesses to establish every word. The whole purpose of Matthew 18 is not to communicate, but to recover the brother or sister and bring repentance. But a lot of people want to skip that phase and just talk about it and gossip about it to other people. And that is wrong. That is wrong. This is the opposite of what a wise and godly person does. This is absolutely the opposite. We have already learned that. Proverbs 16, verse 21 says this, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lip increases learning. So when you're around a wise, godly person, they're not going to say hurtful things. They're going to say things that bring wisdom and insight and learning and growth and edification. Here's another one, Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bone. There are people you know you love being around because they always build you and strengthen you up. They don't let you get away with anything, but they know how to build and encourage you. That's the life and of a person who uses their tongue, the tongue of the wise. We learn Proverbs 31 woman, one of the distinct character traits of the Proverbs 31 woman is she had the law of kindness on her lips. So in summary, gossip warps a person's mind, distorts their perception, and destroys their relationship. Let's see it for what it is. Point number 3, the hateful one. Let's look at the first 3 verses, 23 through 25. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like a earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. So what we have here in the whole passage, we have the word hate or hatred 3 times. So it's all about this person who just wants to stay separated from people, and that's the definition of, you know, you got love and hate. Love draws to people, hatred want to be separated with an attitude, okay? The idea here is they have hatred in their heart. And it doesn't matter what they say, whether it's flattery or good stuff, here is the real person. Notice verse 23. Fervent lip with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. What does that mean? The idea of fervent lip with a wicked heart, I'll let John Kitchen, he explained it this way. They are burning in that they are warm and full of affectionate praise and affirmation of friendship. Yet they are insincere, covering it with a wicked heart. How do we know that? Because all you have to do is see the verses 24 through 26, how they will flatter and do all kinds of warm praises, but inwardly they have no love or concern for you. Look at it with me. Verse 24. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe in him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. So we see here, we have this person who is using her lips, telling you what you want to hear, heaping on you all kinds of praise insincerely, because they have ulterior motive. He compared them to something I thought was interesting when I found out the custom that was happening. Notice the last part of verse 23. Are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Now, we all know about the refining process that you throw silver, and the whole purpose of putting it into and taking it through the refining process, you heat it up real hot, so the impurities will separate from the silver and the dross. And impurity will come to the top, and they will skim the dross off the top and throw it off to the side, and they will keep heating it up until keep going through the process until whatever, whether it's gold or silver or whatever, when its purity is there and they can see the reflection of the refiner, that's when they know that the impurities are out. Well, what they did with the dross, that was a very common thing in those days, is they would take that dross and they would put it all over pottery to make it give it a silver look. Not real silver, it's dross. But they would put it all over. And so what we have here is you got this earthen piece of cheap pottery and you put the dross on it to make it look good. But it's not the real deal. That's what it's like when you have fervent lips with a wicked heart. When you use flattery as a form of deceit to harm and hurt this person. The point of these verses is the condemnation of hypocrisy and the threat of being drawn in by accepted praise. Please. Take note of people who kind of praise you better and more than you know you deserve. Who doesn't like praise? Okay, let's be honest. Who doesn't like it? You know, yeah, give me some more. You know, come on, give me some more. Who doesn't like it? But be careful when somebody you don't really know you heaping all kinds of stuff on you. Stand back and be wise. Nothing wrong. Don't worry about, I might be missing an opportunity. No, you don't need to worry about that. When you take wisdom path, you're safe. So the idea here is to be careful from somebody who wants to use deceit to catch you off guard or to lean you in a different way. You will see not only the deception, it's covered by the flattery and praise, you'll see the hypocrisy of it, because I just read to you verse 24 through 26. And so we see here that we need to remember that when somebody praises us acceptably, there should be an alarm go off that we need to be careful, be discerning, wise. We have learned when we studied in the early part of Proverbs of the harlot And what would the harlot in Proverbs chapter 2? We were given the warning of the flattering words of the harlot. You, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flattered with her word. She's going to say what you want to hear to draw you into what she wants to do. We already dealt with the details of that. Even in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. For the lip of the immoral woman dripped honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And the Bible makes it clear when we were in that portion of the Proverbs that wisdom will keep you from that kind of person. Why? Because you'll have the discernment to see it and catch it and recognize it for what it is. Not only is it wrong to have sexual sin with somebody outside of marriage, but you can recognize the ply and their crap and how they do it to draw you. So what we see here is the deceptive cover of this person's hatred is not the use of makeup, hairstyle, or clothing. It's their lips. It's their lips. The flattering words over their tongue bear no resemblance to the reality of their heart. Verse 24, they disguise their hatred and laid up deceit inside them. This is repeating what we learned in verse 19 when we first started this. Proverbs 26:19, where it said, he who deceived his neighbor and said, I was only joking. Here's the quote I picked up from a commentator that said this, quote, God not only hears what comes off the lid, but he knows what festers within the heart, end quote. Don't think for a second you're fooling him. This is important. Here lies why when we have the fear of the Lord, we know he knows and we won't go there. Though we may be tempted to do it. That's why in verse 25 it said, when he speaks kindly of you, in a sense of flattery, it said, do not believe him. Don't take the words at face value. But they think high of me. Be careful. Be careful. Why? For there are seven abominations in his heart. There's no significance for seven other than there's a bunch of problems in the heart. People get caught up and I wonder what the seven mean. What are the seven things? Doesn't the idea, first of all, speak kindly. The idea that commentator said is that they speak in a way that you hear what you want to hear. They will say what you want to hear. Not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. You want to be careful with that. And when that happens, don't believe them. That's the warning. Do not take their words at face value or place any weight on them. Why? Because there are many abominable things in their hearts. Just in our passage here alone, we learn about their hatred, their deceit, their wicked heart filled with hypocrisy. They lie. Flattery to cover the hate in their heart. That's just in our passage, let alone if we want to do a theology throughout the rest of the Bible of what could possibly be in the desperately wicked heart of every human being. This concept is used often. Psalm 28, verse 3, do not take me away with the wicked. In other words, David was saying, don't let me be punished with the wicked. Why? He said this, and with the workers of iniquity. Why? Who speak peace to their neighbor, but evil is in their heart. That's how they get you caught off guard. Jeremiah 9, verse 8, said, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait to ambush him. May God, beloved, grant a discernment to see beyond their words. Especially you young people, be careful. Now the last three verses, verse 26 to 28, verse 26. Though its hatred is covered by deceit, its wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. This is important. Now we're coming to the part where God and is going to show, yeah, there are people who do this, and they do it with great effect and great devastation, but there are consequences, and there will be serious consequences. And we see that clearly at the end of verse 26. His wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Though this person's social veneer is carefully crafted, the truth will eventually be known. In God's time, they will be exposed, and it will cost them dearly. For the years of sowing discord and disharmony among friends and family and the body of Jesus Christ. They think their scheme will never be known or exposed by others. They're only fooling themselves because the Bible makes it clear that God will see to it. Don't think for a second if you're one of those in this list that you're going to get away with it. Your day is coming unless you repent and confess and let God have His way and change. God will see to it. Let's remember what we learned way back in Proverbs chapter 1. Overview, quickly. What was the purpose of the proverb? So you can learn all these things. It all begins with the fear of the Lord. And gives all kinds of motives why you should follow the path of wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And wisdom is crying out in the street. Wisdom is everywhere to be found. Wisdom is not hiding. It is out there. But fools reject and ignore and disregard and don't want it. And God said, I will give them the fruit of their ways. And at the end of Proverbs 1:27, it said this, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, that is because you showed not the fear of the Lord. Your day of reckoning will come. They don't get away with it. Yet they have hurt people in ways they did not realize the power of the tongue. Remember last week I started with that one verse. There is life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we can see the aftermath here. What's funny is, and what we see is an exposure in verse 26, is the irony. Or irony of the retribution in verse 27. Notice that with me. Whoever digs a pit will fall in it, and he who rolls the stone will have it roll back on him. So they have set up a stage to try to trap somebody, only to find out that the trap that they set will be the very trap that they fall into. The Bible in the Old Testament often speaks of this kind of wry judgment, this irony. Proverbs 28:10, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. But the blameless will inherit good. Psalm 7, verse 15 and 16. He made a pit and dug it out and had fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble will return on his own head and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. Psalm 9, verse 15, and the nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, in a net which they hid, their own foot is caught. This irony, see, what we have here is this irony of while you're setting in a trap, you don't realize you're setting your own trap. This is the beauty where God doesn't have to deal with it. He'll organize it in such a way to make them look as an example. God doesn't have to zap you every time you do something wrong. I'm just going to turn the event where their own plan will come upon them. Classic example, Esther chapter 7. Haman hanging on the gallows that he invented that was intended for Mordecai. Or how about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6? All his friends were trying, all his people that had were jealous of him, wanted him to be destroyed and put away, only to find that they went to the lion's den and got eaten up. They became victims of their own plots. What we have here in first part of verse 27 is a person digging a hole for those they hate only to fall in it in themselves. Second half of 27 is a person rolling up a stone to set it and set up the trap so when a person comes by unexpectedly, they can pull it and let the stone roll. But upon setting it, it somehow fell on them. Somehow they try to set the stone in place only for it to come rolling on themselves. Talk about the sovereignty of God to make that happen as a wonderful lesson. But let's summarize it all in verse 28, last verse. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. What we have here, the emphasis again on deceit and hatred, it resurfaces one more time. The warning, it's warning us that a deceptive tongue comes from hate and hatred in the heart. And notice what it says here. They intend to crush the person and to ruin their life. That is pretty sad when somebody's existence is to they're so miserable in their life that they cannot love and care and show compassion. And the only time they do is, well, it looks good, but at the end of the day, people who are of this kind of stamp are people who are selfish. They have hard hearts. They could care less. And it's sad that they don't even, sadly, they don't even listen to the warning that we have been given today in our passage. But if you're wise this morning and you're following the path of wisdom and the fear of the Lord, may we heed these words. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Challenge us to follow the path of wisdom, that we would follow your ways and seek your honor and your glory and never resort to our clever, destructive and hurtful ways, to use our tongue for praise and good and truth, not for destruction, gossip and hurt. Father, be with us. Challenge us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.